So I wanted to talk to you guys about ants for a little bit this morning, because honestly, I've been thinking about it, and they blow my mind. Like, ants are seriously tiny. I'm pretty sure they don't have a backbone, and yet they can carry something that's 3 times the size and the weight of it. It's insane. And every time I talk to somebody about ants, it's always the same thing, that it's crazy. So I think that we don't give ants as much credit. They're pretty dope. But also, this idea that small things in our life that have such power, like a gymnast, for example, so tiny, tiny bodies, and yet they can do 5 or 6 flips off of one jump. It's insane the amount of power that they have in such a tiny person. Or your phone. Something that is about the size of a chocolate bar, but yet it contains our whole life and everything about us. Like, if we lost our Snapchat streak, it'd be the end of the world. Or if we couldn't get TikTok famous, we'd be really sad about it. Something that's the size of a chocolate bar controls everything about us. This idea that things that are so small in our life but have such weight and have such power. And this played out in my life when I was in junior high. Me and my family, we went to Eureka Springs because we wanted to go out on the lake. We rented this pontoon boat. We were super pumped. And we get there, and we think that our pontoon boat's going to look a little bit like this with a slide, a double deck. We were really pumped about it. We love being on the lake, so we were excited. And we pull up, and it looks a little bit more like this, a little old, a little rusty, kind of crusty. And we're looking at it thinking, there is no way that this thing is going to run. We were kind of bummed. But the boat guy was like, don't worry, it's fine. It works. It'll run. You'll be great. I tested this morning. And we're like, okay, you're the boat guy. If you say the boat's going to work, then I'll believe you that the boat works. So we get on it, and it's going great. We're having a fun time. We're swimming, all the stuff. And me and my mom, we put our chairs up on the like deck thing right here on the end of the pontoon boat. So we set our chairs down. We're talking. We're hanging out. We're basking in the sun, when all of a sudden, I realize that my feet are underwater, and I'm thinking to myself, there's only one of two options of things that are happening right now. One, I'm going crazy, or two, our boat is sinking, and lo and behold, it was option two. I look up, and our boat is taking a nosedive into the bottom of the lake. And being the wonderful, sweet, caring, loving daughter that I am, I hopped my booty up, jumped over the gate, and totally left my mom to sink the bottom abyss of Beaver Lake by herself. And we were freaking out, honestly. I was screaming. I'm pretty sure I was crying. Everyone was kind of like, what is going on? And my dad like, it's fine, it's fine. We get off the boat. We're looking at it. My dad's pretty smart. He knows a thing or two about boats, and he pulls out this plug about the size of a quarter. And he goes, oh, it wasn't plugged in. That's why our boat was sinking. And I looked at him. I was like, you're kidding. I just went through distress and trauma in my life because a little thing about the size of a quarter wasn't plugged in. He goes, yeah, that's basically right. Things that are so small in our life but had the power to sink a whole boat and potentially a whole family along with it. I think this is true with our words. We're going to be in James 3, verses 1 through 12. And we're going to look at how our words, something that is so small, something that has no physical form, but yet the weight that it carries and the power that it has in our life. And it's kind of going to go off this verse in James. It says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. We're going to look at this idea that James tells us of, look at what a great fire, look at how much impact, look at how much effect and how much power such a small thing that has no physical form has in our life. And he's going to move us through 3 points. James is telling us that your words direct your life, your words affect you and affect those around you, and your words can't be controlled without Jesus. And this first point we're going to look at is how our words direct our life. And to do this, we're going to look at James 3, verse 4 and 5, where it says, or take the ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, They are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Have any of y'all been on a cruise ship before? A couple of you guys. I'm assuming most of you have seen what they look like. They're gigantic. Here's a little outline. This cruise ship could probably fit every student in this room and all the schools represented and all the kids in those schools easily. That's like thousands of people. And James is saying the tiniest part on the ship, this little thing, it's called the rudder, guides the whole thing. It guides the entire ship. And he adds on this part, it's wherever the pilot wants to go. He's saying that you guys have the choice to highlight Jesus over highlighting yourself. That you have to make the choice to encourage someone instead of gossip about them. Yeah, I'll take that. Sorry, my mic's being crazy. Pause. Broken mic. All right, I'm ready. Thank you. Does it work? Ah, oh, nice. Okay, we're back with this fun thing around my neck. Just ignore it. So we're saying, or James is saying, that this thing that is so small in our life directs the course of it. And I think for us, this could look like how we destroy a friendship by the words that we say. About when you talk about your friends behind their back and then it gets back to them and it totally tears apart a friendship that's been together for years. And if you think about it, that can totally change the course of your junior high, your high school years. It can totally mess that up because you've chosen to reap destruction with your words and it has led to this destroyed friendship that's really hard to mend. James is bringing us to this question. He's bringing us to this point that we need to ask ourselves, which is, in what direction are you guiding your life by the words that you say? In what direction are you taking because you're choosing the words that come out of your mouth? And this is our main point for this morning. What I want you to hear, if you don't hear anything else, that genuine faith, it produces words that lead to life. Genuine faith produces words that lead others into life. Because the cool thing is about the cruise ship, it directs everybody on it, not just the pilot. So your words affect you, and they affect everyone and everything around you. Your words have a ripple effect. They spread so quickly. And we're gonna look at James 3, 5-8. It says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I don't know about you guys, but when I read this, I was like, I had to take a minute. Because James is very clear on the amount of destruction that our tongue and our words can cause. I have this specific memory from when I was little, probably in like elementary school, where one of the little boys came up to me and he said, hey, Anna, boys, your girls go to Jupiter to get more stupider and boys go to Mars to get candy bars. And I looked at him and I was like, I have the best comeback for you and it's great. And I said, well, yeah, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I just walked away. And I thought, that, yes, thank you. Really profound. And I was thinking about this moment as I was reading this, and I thought, how utterly wrong is that phrase? It is not true. The person who came up with it probably has never read James, and they need to reevaluate their life because it's so wrong. Your words have power. Your words have meaning. and your words affect other people. They're like a fire, James says, a forest fire, and a forest fire spreads rapidly and quickly. Tori sent me this article that has these quotes in it. It says, how does a forest fire start? All it takes is a spark. All it takes is one gossiping moment. All it takes is teasing someone one time. All it takes is cussing and joking around with your friends one time to start a ripple effect in your life that affects you and affects everyone around you. Because you see, a fire at its heart, at its height, can burn up to 60 football fields per minute. That is insane. That is what James is relating our words to. That is what James is relating our tongue to, is this. Is our words are a fire, and they spread rapidly and they spread quickly, and we may not even mean to start a fire. A lot of times, when fires like this are start, it's by accident. It's never by purpose, on purpose. No one ever purposely intends to have a fire that looks like this. James is saying we need to be intentional with our words, because this is the reality of what can happen. Because this is the reality of what happens when we use our words to reap destruction. Have you guys ever seen the after effects of a wildfire? What that looks like? It looks a little bit like this. Completely burnt up, damaged, lifeless, and dead. When we think that when we talk about someone and it's totally fine because they'll never hear what you said, this is the reality of what's happening. This is the reality of what's happening when you use your words to lead people into death. And guys, I've sat in this field, this burnt up, broken, dead, lifeless field, by the words that I have chosen to say and by the words that other people have said to me. I know what it feels like to sit in this field, and I truly believe I am not the only one in this room that has sat in this field. It is hurtful, it's broken, it's lifeless. But James is saying this is one of two landing spots that you can take with your words and the things that come out of your mouth. That's the amount of power that it has. You're either leading people here, leading people to this dead, burnt field, or you're leading people to life. Because guys, genuine faith, it produces words that lead to life. James talks about there's two landing spots for the direction of your life that it can take. It's either life or you're leading people to death. You're leading people to that burn-up field, or you're leading people to the cross. But guys, you can't lead people to the cross without Jesus. You can't lead people to the one who's given life until you have the one that's given you life. Abby talked about last week how you have to be plugged in to the source. You have to be plugged into Jesus to lead people to life, because he is the only good thing about us. Because we are fleshly, we are sinful. But Jesus is perfect, and he is holy, and he is righteous. We're going to read this. It says, with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let me give y'all a visual here. So we have a fig tree on the left and a grapevine on the right. James is saying this fig tree cannot produce a grape. It can try really hard, but it's never gonna happen. It's only ever gonna produce a fig. This grapevine is only ever going to produce grapes. It's never going to produce a fig. You can come to church on Sunday morning. You can go to cell group. You can go to all the events. But if the minute you leave, you're gossiping and you're being sarcastic and you're tearing people down by your words, he's saying that does not add up. It doesn't work. It can't happen. Just because I stand in a garage does not make me a bright red convertible Camaro. It doesn't happen. It will never happen. James is saying, if you walk the walk, you gotta talk the talk. I think it can also look a little bit like this. So I'm sure all of you know these two people.
I'm assuming that if you're a Kanye West fan, you probably don't like Taylor Swift. You're probably like, girl needs to get over it. She needs to move on. It's time for her to get over all of the drama. Yes, for real, for real. But if you're a Taylor Swift fan, you probably have a sour taste in your mouth about Kanye West. Sorry, dude's rude, he's mean, why would he ever say that? What's wrong with him? See, look, we have just reactions all over the room. It would not make sense for a Kanye West fan to say, oh, I love Taylor Swift, she's the best. I have not met a Kanye West fan that has ever said that. And if you're a Taylor Swift fan, I bet you're not saying Kanye West is my favorite person. It doesn't make sense. They've openly been honest about their feelings for each other. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for you to come and sit here on Sunday mornings, but the minute that you leave, go back to school on Monday, you're tearing people down by the words that you say. You're cussing and you're reaping destruction and you're always being negative. James says that doesn't add up. It leads to this, like the Titanic. Your ship will split and both ends end up at the bottom of the ocean. It's harsh, and James is very clear, but that is the reality of what's happening when you use your words to reap death into people's life. And I know it can be so hard because we will say whatever we want to and we not think twice about it. But James is calling us to be aware of the words that come out of our mouth, because the one that created us, the one that gave us life, spoke us into being. He put breath in our lungs. He spoke it into us. He gave us life. Let's look at this. It says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together and let the dry land appear. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants, seeds, and fruit, and it was so. God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind. God said, let there be light to separate the day from the night, and let there be signs and seasons and for days and years, and it was so. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. God spoke you into being. He spoke breath into your lungs. He spoke life into your dead, sinful body. That is the power that our words have. By actually speaking physical life and encouragement into other people. Your words matter. Your words have effects on you and have effects on those around you. Your words have the power to bring life, or they have the power to bring complete destruction. Because the reality is, you're either leading people to the gospel, to Jesus, to life, or you're leading people to death, away from the gospel and away from Jesus. Those are the two landing spots that we have on the direction that our tongue can take us. Leading people to life and leading people to Jesus, or leading people to death. And I have a video that I want to show you guys of people who have had words spoken into them that have given them life and purpose, that have called things out in themselves that they would have never seen in them. Let's check it out.
So I had a time back in high school where I was in a really terrible season, was about to drop out of the church. My parents were in the middle of a divorce, and I kind of came to this spot where I didn't know if I belonged. And I was actually in a service and was asked by a leader, hey, the pastor wants to go see you. And I was like, oh, shoot, I'm in trouble. So I go into his office, and he actually shared with me how they had seen my passion for people, and that I had a courage to approach new people in the church, and that they wanted me to join the student leadership team and start leading a younger group of students. So fast forward 15 years later, and now I'm a cell group leader here. I've been actively leading groups of students, and so it's been so cool to see that I thought that I didn't have much to offer the church. One person called it out and said that we need your passion here, and then to get to follow that and see where it's come has just been awesome, and I thank the Lord for those words that were spoken over me.
A couple weeks ago in church, they were talking about how an authentic faith is an applied faith, and that just really motivated me to carry out my life for Christ.
Someone that has really encouraged me is Caleb Freeman. A couple years ago, he started discipling me, and just meeting with him on Thursdays at Onyx has really been like a life-changing moment for me.
There have been many people that have impacted my life greatly, so that inspired me to impact kids' lives, so that's why I joined KT Town this year.
So I used to really struggle with finding time to dedicate to my faith, and then I was talking to Sarah Hill about it, and she told me, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy, and it just kind of clicked.
So my mom has always told me that I have a warm and welcoming heart, so I've always tried to love others just like Christ has.
My cell group leader, Hunter Hill, told me that nobody can have a relationship with the Lord for me. I have to do it myself.
During fall retreat, we had a quiet time in the morning with our cell leaders, and we just walked up to a field and just ducked down to the Word and just started reading. And I talked to my leaders after, and we're reading through Romans 10, and they were just saying how, like, one of the verses I picked out was, like, you just can't put everything, like, in the other things besides God. Like, you should only put your love through God, and that's just one thing that's impacted me.
Something that Amy Anderson just told me when I was feeling just really stressed and overwhelmed was that she just kind of reminded me that Jesus loves me for me.
So one time in cell group, I was very encouraged by my girls because we were going around the circles telling our spiritual gifts, and they told me I love a lot like the Lord, and that just makes them feel very included every time they come to cell group.
Something encouraging that somebody once told me is that God uses you right where you are, and so I don't necessarily need to change.
Recently, I ran into a teacher of mine from when I was younger, and I asked him if he remembered me, and he told me that there's some people you just don't forget, and that reminded me that we have an impact on all the people around us, even when we don't realize we do.
My discipler, Anna Francis, tells me all the time that the Lord will provide for me.
Something my mom told me is to just be yourself, and I know that's super cliche, but it just hit me in a time when I needed it, and it just reminded me that, like, I need to be myself and not change myself to fit the needs of other people.
Peace is not the absence of struggle, but the presence of the Lord. This has just been, like, shown through my life, like, with anxiety and, like, freaking out about everything else, that, like, I can come back to the Lord with everything and that I can just find peace through Him.
I've been really encouraged by the friends in my cell group that always reach out to me to encourage me, especially when my friend's named Sophie Alanez. She always makes time to text me. Bible verses are just encouragements when she knows I'm having a hard day, and that means a lot to me. And so I just love all my friends that always reach out and encourage me.
One thing that Grant Russler told me when I was in one of my depressive episodes, which is during the time where I was starting to question everything really, was that it's best to reach out to people and find the real truth to, it's not your problems, but something more better than that, rather than lock it away and pretend to be something you're not.
So something that was said at Fall Retreat by a guest speaker that was really encouraging to me was the source of our courage to face life is the promise of God's presence. And that just really encouraged me in my everyday life, that through God, I have courage to face everything that comes at me, and that I don't need to be scared of anything.
So something growing up that I always heard was that I wasn't good enough to play music or do things, and it was really discouraging. But once I moved to Arkansas and started going to fellowship, I was surrounded by people who really encouraged me to use those gifts. And that has grown my relationship with the Lord and other people and just who I am in Christ and as a person.
Guys, genuine faith produces words that lead to life. And I think all these people in this video can attest to the fact that the words that were spoken into them allowed them to see things in themselves that they would have never seen themselves and would have pushed them towards Christ. That is the reality of the power that your words have. And so this week, I want you guys to try a couple things. Take an inventory of the words that you're saying. Because we can start a fire in our life and in the lives of those around us and not even realize it. Be intentional about the things that are coming out of your mouth because they're important and they matter. Look at the music that you're listening to. Is it music that is uplifting, or is it music that is constantly cussing and talking about things that are not good for our lives? Look at the people that you're surrounding yourself with. Are they people that are constantly negative, constantly gossiping? Or are they people that are encouraging you, lifting you up, and pointing you to Jesus? Because guys, you become who you're around.
And the last one is one that I really encourage you guys to do. It's call out something in someone intentionally. Encourage someone intentionally. Call out things in them that they may not see in themselves, because you will never measure the amount of life that it can bring. As we start worship, I pray that you guys will just allow the Lord to speak life into you so that you can speak life into you.